Wow, thank you very much, Wes. That was very beautiful. Very beautiful indeed. Thank you very much. Okay, Wednesday night, Gospel of John. Let's begin with prayer. And we want to be in prayer for Tish and her recovery. Want to be in prayer for Sharon Tuttle. Want to be in prayer for Nathan, Amber. We want to be in prayer for Elisa. Let's see. We'll be in prayer for Nancy and Don Becker, especially Nancy Becker. They travel.
Terry's mom, Hazel.
Want to be in prayer for Hazel. Make a home this week, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, had a lot of prayer that we have to do. Yes, sir.
Jim Pack's mother passed away last
night. Who?
Jim Pack. Remember Jim and Jim?
Yeah.
His mother passed away last night. So
all right.
Remember Jim and the family.
Okay, sure will. Wow. Okay. All right. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Orient ourselves to our study. And we keep dropping in number. I don't know why we signed a 3-year lease, but anyway, let's begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity we have to come together and open the Scriptures and learn about prayer. You are so concerned and so many mandates in regard to our prayer, to be in prayer, to pray, communicate with you unceasingly throughout the day. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see in the passages before us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're in a particular category of prayer. Prayer regarding greater works. There are all kinds of prayer. Now, first of all, there's prayer. Now, all prayer is addressed to God. But there's a prayer that is directly related with God. It's the prayer of praise. All right. Can't see it down there? Okay. All right. Let's see here. Let me see here. We can't get this going here. Yeah, that's clear. Right? Okay. Okay. We have praise. The prayer of praise. And I hope that in your prayers you do praise Him. Praise Him, not necessarily for things He's done in your life, but praise Him for who and what He is. Praise Him in regard to His essence. Praise Him in regard to His grace, His love, His mercy, His compassion. Then, of course, there is the prayer directly related to God of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for things that He has done everywhere from creating the world, creating your soul, giving you soul life and then spiritual life. And so there is the prayer of thanksgiving. And then we come to the category of prayer that is related. How are you tonight? Right. Then there is prayer related to others. Now, people, this goes into so many categories throughout the Scriptures. There is just talking, for an example, there is prayer in regard to people that you do not know. So we'll just put you do not know. And this could be anywhere from praying for the people that Bill and Pat Risley will meet on the mission field, people in Mexico that we will never see it probably in this lifetime. And so we're praying in regard to their salvation. Eternal life salvation. And this would be just prayer for people all over the world and people that we don't know. And It just, I love the way Bill Risling put it, that what they get to do is they get to see God answer prayer. That they're not doing anything. They're just getting to see God answering prayer. Bill and Pat are very meticulous in their prayer. They get up and pray about an hour and a half every morning. And that's just part of their life. And it was just really an inspiration. But so, we got prayer for salvation. We could be in prayer for others' needs. It may be physical needs, meaning for their body. It may be physical needs, their housing or food, or maybe disaster hits an area of the world or the country and you know someone or don't know someone, and we pray. So there are just so many areas we can pray for people we don't know. There are people that we don't know that are friends or relatives of those that we do know, like Elisa. We don't know Elisa. If she were to walk in the door, I wouldn't know her. But I do know that my heart is for prayer for her and the things that she's going through, and Molly. And so there are people that are friends or relatives of those that we know these people. We don't even know the people we're in prayer for. But God does. And that's what's really powerful. Then there are just a multitude of prayers in regard to those that we do know. It can be in regard to, it can be spiritual. It can be salvation one, salvation two, spiritual needs. And I always beckon you in regard to being in prayer for others. Well, Father, I pray that whatever it'll take to get my relative, my brother or my sister or somebody's attention as to the gospel, please do it. And then the next day or two, or you hear about maybe their child died. You prayed it. You prayed it. I believe in the power of prayer, people, because that's what it would take to bring that person face to face to a reality about Jesus Christ in their life. Doesn't mean that they will accept him, but it will take something like that to do it. So you want to be careful in your prayer preparation. Do I really want to pray this prayer? And so we pray for salvation or the spiritual needs of someone that we do know, as well as those we don't know. And then it can be for health in regard to someone. And people, these are all iffy prayers. These are all iffy. It depends on so many other things. But remember what prayer does. Prayer incites God to act in our lives in a way that he may not do if we didn't pray. We learn that from Job 1. So pray for their health. Pray for needs. Maybe physical needs, disaster, or just something like that that they have needs of in this regard. So then we have the prayer for our political leaders that we're beckoned to do. So we're to be in prayer for them. Then, of course, there is prayer for self. And this is unfortunately where most people spend most of their time. But you want to start your prayers, or somewhere in your prayers, praise and thanksgiving. And then your petition prayers for other people, and prayer for self, and the spiritual prayer for self, and physical, and all these types of things that we have. So there are so many categories of prayer. Beckoning God to come down and asking God to act in your life or in the life of someone else in your life to visibly act in your life. This is what these prayers are about. But what we're in right now is in a special category of prayer. The prayer that we're looking at is prayer that is related to the greater works. Prayer related to the greater works. Now, what are the greater works? The greater works is bringing unbelievers into the kingdom. Bringing unbelievers into the kingdom. Jesus Christ came for the Jew. And what you and I get to do, and the reason it's called greater, is that we open it up to the Gentile world and to give the gospel. And it was, there's so much that Bill could only mention Sunday morning, Bill and Pat Risling, but they were telling me that Grady had gone to Haiti, their son Grady had gone to Haiti when he was only about 14. And he would call home every Saturday morning. He was gone about two or three Saturdays, and just said, "You can't believe it. There are people here that have never heard about Jesus Christ. Never heard of him." And so when Grady got home, they spent a month, an entire month, as he did say, in prayer. And it was about the greater works. This is a prayer that God's going to answer. So these are the prayers that we're dealing with, the prayer related to the greater works. Now, to pray, where we left off last week, praying in my name is to pray as Jesus Christ would pray. It's to love as he would love, to pray as he would pray. To pray in his name is to pray with the same desires that Jesus Christ had. The same desires that Jesus Christ had. Now the question comes to play, how can I have the desires of Jesus Christ? And that's a good question, because the flesh can't do it. Flesh is not going to desire the same thing Jesus Christ did. So we want our prayers answered in regard to greater works. We want to pray in his name. Praying in his name is praying by his desires. So let's see how we can have the desires of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we are going to begin in verse 12. We begin our reading in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. So then, coming off of what preceded, my beloved, title of every believer, just as you have always obeyed. Now the obedience that Paul is speaking of is the obedience that is faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. So that's the obedience. Not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence. Now, but much more, because he's not there very often, and he's not there to exhort, to encourage, to do these things, so it's even more important that they walk by faith when he's not there. Much more in my absence. Now we have that very confusing statement that a lot of false doctrine has been built on. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now this verse, this phrase has caused so many false teachings, like you got to work your salvation out. You're not saved immediately by faith in Jesus Christ. The doctrine of eternal security, all these things. There's so many doctrines that have been abused by misunderstanding here. But let's take a look. First of all, it is not work out. That is not what it says. The Greek says work according to your salvation. The preposition is according to your salvation. So that is by faith, and by faith in Jesus Christ. So we work according to your salvation with fear and trembling. All right. So this tells us that salvation 2 is different than salvation 1, yet it's very similar. Different, but similar. Verse 13. Now here's how we're going to get this desire. For it is God, God the Holy Spirit, who is at work in you, inside of you. So that's how we know it's the Holy Spirit. For it is God the Holy Spirit, who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. To will or to desire and to work for His good pleasure. Now, Lewis Berry Chafer, I think, said it so interesting for turmoil. And that is that he said sometimes his prayer is that, Father, give me the will to will your will. Because I don't have it. I do not have the will to even will your will. And because I'm afraid your will would take me to Mexico, or cause me to have to make decisions I don't want to make, or whatever. And we've seen this with love. They give me the desire to love as Christ would love. Because this person has offended me or hurt me, I don't want to. I don't want to love them with spiritual love. So, Father, give me the desire to love them. And then He's got to give you the love, see? But first, sometimes what we need, because we've been so hurt, and we tend to be angry, or just isolate ourselves from them, or whatever the case may be, and so, give me the desire. So first we're saying, give me the desire to love, and then give me that love. Pour in spiritual love. Pour it in. But first, I need the desire. I need the desire to love them. Well, now we're talking about the desire to do the will of God. So here it is, the desire and to work. So Jesus Christ is going to send the Holy Spirit so that we can have His desire in our souls and in our prayers. We ask many things in our prayers with regard to our Lord because we have our own desires. A lot of prayer is stimulated by our own desires leading us in the prayer. Instead of His desires is what I desire. And that stimulates and guides a lot of our prayer, if we're very honest. Unless we're very astute in regard to prayer preparation. Oftentimes our prayers are stimulated and guided by our own desires instead of His. This is where prayer preparation becomes so important. What are His desires in regard to my life? So verse 13, for it is God the Holy Spirit, who is at work in you. This is the working of the Holy Spirit, both to desire and to work for His good pleasure. So we should ask Him to work out His good desires in our lives. Now, this deals with all things, and I'm relating it to all categories of prayer. Right now we're specializing in the prayer of greater works. But just this could be your prayer every morning, that He will work out His good pleasure in your life today. He will work out His good pleasure, His good will, His desire in your life. Because that's my desire. My desire is to do His desire. And if it, yes. Yes. All right, God, listen. Okay, if I'm hearing you correctly, that most of our prayers are guided that way, but you know, even if, especially, if I'm in the Holy Spirit, then His desire becomes mine, and then that's okay. That's not selfish.
Right.
If my desire is His desire, and that's the pleasure of my prayer. Now, if it's not, then I'm in the flesh.
You're going with the frame of mind that you're automatically going to accept, I guess, for lack of a better term, or like to be in the feeling of the Spirit, to accept His decision, whatever it may be.
Yes, but we can let our desires be made known to Him. He's our Heavenly Father.
I'm saying, so you always have to keep that. What I'm saying is, even if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're always going to be more apt to understand and accept
yes.
it, but you still always have to remember
absolutely.
That it's going to be His decision.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, bottom line.
Yep. But in the filling of the Spirit, I can go to my earthly father and say, how about $25 for the day tonight? Well, I can do that. He's my earthly father. Now, he may say no, and he may say yes, he may say less, he may say more, rarely. But so we can let our request be made known to Him. But we desire that what we want is for them to be parallel. It's for our desire to be His desire, His good pleasure. All right. So often we deceive ourselves in our prayers. We have seen how horrible it is to deceive ourselves in 1 John chapter 1. But we deceive ourselves in prayer. And this is where preparation becomes so important. And a wife, for an example, deceived themselves in praying for their husbands. But in truth, their prayers are because they are embarrassed at what their husband does or what others are saying. And so, she's praying for him, but her real desire is that she's just embarrassed that he has this problem or is like that or whatever. And so, it's very difficult, and we have to be very careful getting our own flesh desires in mingled in and justify our flesh desires, and we can't do that. So it's becomes very important, and husbands do the same thing, pray for their wives, and then run them down and this type of thing. People pray a multitude of prayers, and I tell you, a lot of people pray. People pray often to control the other person. They just want to control the other person. They're praying for their husband, they're praying for their wife, but they're praying in a control basis. I want them to do what you want them to do. And that's prayer abuse. And prayer is abused greatly. So these are prayers that will not be answered in regard to your request. Doesn't mean that God won't do something, but it isn't a direct response to your prayers. All right, look again here. At 2:13, Philippians 2:13, for His good pleasure. For His good pleasure. Now look for one of the great tests in answered prayer and praying in His name. Look with me at 1 John 3. 1 John 3. First John 3, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments. Now, what are His commandments? Well, His commandments, if you look at verse 23 in 1 John 3, and this is His commandment, and it's singular, but two-part, that we believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another just as He has commanded us. So you can have that as a plural or singular. These are the commandments of God, faith and love. Faith and love. And do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And what pleases God? The work of His Son. That is the greater work in our study. That's the greater work in our study. So, in my name. Now, in John 14, it is based on the union model. I in Christ, Christ in me. As Jesus Christ prayed, So we pray in the power of the Spirit. In to pray in His name means that you think as Jesus Christ thought. You have His desires. You have His passion. To pray in Jesus' name, we must have His mind, His thinking. We must have His thinking. Okay, let's go back to Philippians chapter 2 this time. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Okay, verse 1. If, therefore, look at 129. I can hardly go to 2:1 without coming off of 229 and 30. 229. For to you it has been granted for Christ's benefit not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. If therefore, chapter 2, verse 1 now, and therefore goes back to 129, 30, suffering. If therefore, okay, now, if therefore there is any encouragement, so come off the previous chapter, for you have been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His name's sake. If therefore, since that's our, we're going to suffer for His name's sake, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, and we're going to need encouragement in our suffering. If there's any encouragement of Christ, and this is first class condition, and there is, if there is any consolation of love, and it's another first class condition, and there is another impact or the effect of love, as love goes along with the 16 that we had in 1 Corinthians 13, we now have another one, consolation, comfort, kindness, and the instrument used to give us this comfort is spiritual love. If there is any fellowship in the Holy Spirit, and there is, and that means intimacy. Fellowship is intimacy. If any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Now, what is the mind? What is the same mind? This is not all Bible doctrines I used to teach. This is specific. This is specific, referring to something specific in the mind of Jesus Christ. And that's right here in our passage. Maintaining the same love, spiritual love by the Holy Spirit, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Now, this is important in effective prayer life. Verse 3. Do nothing. Not pray, not even prayer. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. All right, do nothing. People, that includes prayer. You want your prayers answered? Then we do not pray from selfishness, conceit, self-centeredness. Doing nothing from selfishness, empty conceit. Praying in His name is not praying in selfishness. Okay? Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. There's only one way to do this, in humility. What is humility? Humility is depending on the Holy Spirit by faith. Arrogance does not walk by faith. Humility is humble. I need thee. I walk by faith. I trust you. That's humility. This is why I teach in a marriage relationship between humans. It's not based on trust. I know that offends a lot of people, offends a lot of preachers. If I build it on trusting, I can control. But people, remember, Faith always puts you in a weak position. Why do we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? Because we're totally weak. Why do we trust the Holy Spirit moment by moment? Because we're totally weak. We need Him. And if you build your relationship on trust in a human relationship, you're becoming very weak. And God did not give us that between human beings. He didn't say trust one another. In fact, He says, cursed is he who trusteth in man. What did He give us? He gave us something that makes us strong in a human relationship. And what is that? Spiritual love. He gave us something that makes you strong. Love is long-suffering. People, trust is not long-suffering. Trust cannot go beyond the breakdown of trust. I can't trust you anymore. It's over. Boy, if we ever reach a point where we can't trust God, people, putting it in a true statement, I'm just going to live in a bottle if I can't trust God. It's over. But He's given us spiritual love, long-suffering. Love bears all things. Trust can't bear all things. Trust cannot bear the breakdown of trust by definition. So He gave us something that made us strong to build our relationships on. So, but in humility of mind is the battle, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Verse 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but for the interest of others. That is what spiritual love will do. Spiritual love constantly has in mind and in view the benefit of the other person. Have this attitude, verse 5, in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now this is that mind, a few verses back, that we want to have. This is your thinking. Is to have the attitude in yourself which was in Christ Jesus. Okay, now we come right to our study of praying in Jesus' name. This is praying as Jesus would pray. We must have His attitude in us. What is His attitude? This is not all doctrine. Not the whole Bible. This is one essential attitude related to spiritual or to greater works. One essential attitude that we must have if we're going to pray in regard to greater works. This verse takes us right into the spiritual warfare, right into the purpose of Jesus Christ, right into the purpose of praying in His name. Have this attitude as opposed to the attitude of Satan. What we're about to see is very opposite the attitude of Satan. As he was above all angels in the first universe, and opposite to your own attitude of our own flesh nature, personal interest, conceit, our personal desires. So, have this attitude, not the one that was in Satan, and not the one that comes from our flesh nature. This attitude is spiritual love for all members of the human race, and a desire that all be reconciled with God the Father. That's this attitude. I'll show you that in a moment. The attitude that is talking about, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, when He as God became man. It was beforehand. When God became man, this was His thinking. As man He went to the cross, this was his thinking, that everyone be reconciled with God the Father. So when we meet people, got to have this attitude in ourselves. This is the thinking of spiritual love. It's the attitude of spiritual love that will allow Jesus Christ to be sacrificed for the benefit of His enemies. To pray in His name is to pray with this attitude. In verse 6, we have the attitude now described. Spiritual love in action. Your prayers in action. Who? Jesus Christ. although he existed in the being of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, robbed, held on to. Now, who has that attitude to grasp to be God and to be in the position of God? Satan. Jesus Christ had, and he didn't think it was something to be grasped and held on to. Satan did in the first universe. Eve did in the garden. Trying to grasp equality with God. Jesus Christ did not have that. When you pray, have this attitude of Jesus Christ. This is praying in His name. Who, Jesus Christ, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, robbed, and held on to. Praying in His name, praying in this attitude, that whatever it takes to lead someone else to Christ. Verse 7. So instead of holding on to that, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Now that's below angel. So you have deity, angelic realm, and human realm, way down here. We think it's pretty hot being a member of the human race. Angels don't even think we're hot. It's even below them. But he came down to the level of man, who emptied himself, set aside his deity, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. This is the great work of Jesus Christ. This is the attitude of Christ, people. This is the attitude that we are to have in our life, that we're to have. Set aside whatever we're holding on to lead others to Christ. And it just was so predominant with Bill and Pat over the last couple of days talking with them, that they just sold everything, gave up everything, and packed up their kids and moved to Mexico. I remember a year and a half or so ago, it was about 2 years now, just because it was a week John had his motorcycle wreck, and we went down to visit that whole week. Remember, I took 2 weeks off that year, and we went down to see Grady, and he was down along the coast of Waymos, and he wanted to show those people that he wasn't there and going to leave. He lived as they lived. So they had a trailer with no electricity, no plumbing, or nothing like this. Just lived like they did. Just so he could identify and communicate with them. And I took a walk along the coastline and then around the coast by myself, ran over this way. And after I made the curve in the port there, boy, they were just beautiful homes, $500,000 homes that had pools. Here's the ocean, here's the pool, beautiful home, all these things. So when I got back to Grady, I said, you know, Grady, I said, I agree with you that you want to live identified with those people. I'm called to those people around the cove, so I have to live like they live. Somebody has to do it. But we have to have this attitude of emptying ourselves. So, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. Why did he do that? To bring men to God. To reconcile man to God. People, that's the greater works. Opening up the kingdom. This is the greater work of Jesus Christ. This is related to our greater works. This is the attitude that we refer to here. It's an attitude of Jesus Christ doing His work. And this attitude, it's going to have to be ours in doing His work on earth. Emptied himself. Just the opposite of Satan. What did Satan do? He exalted himself. I will rise and be like God. I'll sit on the throne. Not emptied himself. This is what we must do in praying in His name. Have this attitude. Emptying yourself. John, the voice in the wilderness. John the Baptist. He said, I must decrease that He increase. Just another way of wording what we're talking about, of emptying yourself. It's not about me. It's about Him. We hold on to things on this earth so vital. Oh, we just got to have this. We're holding on to that. And it's just amazing how so much stress, anxiety, and depression are related to this world and Christians holding on to things of this world. It may be family or self-image or work or whatever. And we develop anxieties and the depression and have to go to drugs and alcohol and all these types of things. And it's all related to the cosmos, and it just doesn't matter. In the realm of the resurrection, in the realm of the rapture, or in the realm of leading others to Christ. But boy, we have to do it. So if you desire to pray in Jesus' name, this must be the attitude in you. Emptying yourself of your own desires. Emptying yourself of your own interest and thinking of the benefit of others. Taking the form of a bondservant. This has to be our attitude because we are bondservants of Christ. Paul said that in Romans 1:1. We are servants of Christ. We're not here to serve ourselves. We get so occupied with ourselves and what we have and what we don't have and all this type of nonsense. And again, it's why so many have stress and depression and are upset and all of these things. We're just occupied with this world instead of the kingdom. Verse 8. And being found in the appearance of man, okay, so that's he humbled himself to do that. He humbled himself again by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Well, I'm just reading through these. This is all so powerful. It's been a year on these things. So here's the work of Christ. Here's the attitude of spiritual love that guides in praying in His name. If you don't have this attitude, then people, you don't want to pray in His name. If this isn't your attitude, then don't say you're praying in His name. This is praying in His name. Being found in the appearance of man, He humbled Himself to serve man. First of all, He was God and He became man, and now as man, He even stoops to be the servant of men. That has to be our attitude. We're to serve people to give them the gospel. We're to serve people to tell them about Christ and about the kingdom. This is what we're here for. So this is, becomes a powerful point in praying in His name. Being found in the appearance as a man, He, Jesus Christ, humbled, that's I must decrease and He increase, Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now the cross speaks of substitutionary atonement. It's how we reconcile with God. It's through the cross. Now, verse 9. Therefore, also God highly exalted Him. Now, this is after the cross, the burial, the resurrection. God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. And people, it is this name that we're to pray in. Hope you begin to see why God the Father is going to answer any prayer in accordance with His Son's name. This is a name. It's above all names. Who did God exalt? He did not exalt Satan, who thought being equal with God was something to be grasped and held on to, but Jesus Christ. And why did He do that? Because this was His attitude. This was the attitude of spiritual love that led Him to sacrifice Himself for the benefit of others, even His enemies, even the death of the cross. This is His praying in His name, people, knowing Him. He has a name which is above every name, and it is according to this name that we pray. This is the name that was given to Him because He sacrificed Himself. To pray in His name means that we must love as He loved, pray as He prayed, and live as He lived. We must have His desires. This means we must have His desires, His thought. And what are His thoughts? That He decrease Himself that man might be saved. His thoughts and His love, His desires are increasing in our lives as you continually walk in the Spirit, as you grow in the knowledge of the Scriptures, then these things start becoming yours. Now, we ask ourselves, what is His name? What is His name? Okay, what is His name? Let's look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 12. Revelation 19, verse 12. And His eyes are a flame of fire, and upon His head are many diadems, and He has a name written upon Him which no one knows except Himself. Okay, if we're going to pray in His name, we're going to have to know what that name is. Verse 13. And He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. Not the whole Bible, not all Scripture, but the Word of God is a person, the person of Jesus Christ. He and He alone is the fulfillment of God's words. He is the Word of God. He is God keeping His Word. God promised in the Old Testament, I will save. Jesus Christ coming down as man, dying on the cross, He is God keeping His Word. So His name is the fulfillment of God's Word. So His name is the Word of God. It takes the mind of God to know His name. And if we're going to know that name in the power of the Holy Spirit, and in this we're going to pray. God the Holy Spirit is the mind of God. This is so crucial. God the Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. And God the Holy Spirit shares His name to us. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:16. 1 Corinthians 2:16. First Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Okay, now that's the mind, and we want to have this attitude, this mindset in us. Who has known the mind of the Lord that He should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The mind of man cannot begin to comprehend, much less understand, the mind of God, the mind of Christ. People don't think that you can pray in Jesus' name until you understand what that name means. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:16, who knows the mind of the Lord, that we should instruct him, that he should instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, what is he talking about when he says, we have the mind of Christ? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about Bible doctrine. He's talking about the third member of the Godhead. How do we know that? Just because I say so? No. Just because somebody else says it's something else? No. How do we know? This is a quote from Isaiah 40. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40, where it makes it very clear. Isaiah chapter 40. Okay, we have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? It's the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians, or Isaiah 40, and let's begin reading in verse 12. Isaiah 40, verse 12, 13, and 14. Verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens by the span, calculated the dust of the earth by the measure, and weighed the mountains in balance, and the hills in a pair of scales. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Now, see, Paul, what he said was in the passage before us, who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? Isaiah, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or has his counselor has informed him? Verse 14, with whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding, and who taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and taught him the way of understanding? Paul quoted Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. He quoted this now to point out that no natural man can know the mind of God without the Holy Spirit. Notice what Paul has done in quoting verse 13. It guides us in understanding what Paul is saying. Isaiah 40:13 does not use the word nous, or mind, referring to the Lord, but instead the Spirit of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, the mind of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. Paul is showing they're one and the same. You understand that? In the Corinthians passage, who has directed, who understood the Spirit of the Lord? He does. In Isaiah 40:13, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 2:16, does not, he says the mind of the Lord, but in Isaiah 40, it's the Spirit of the Lord, to show that they are parallel. Isaiah 40:13, who has directed or understood the Spirit of the Lord? 1 Corinthians 2:16, who has known the mind of the Lord? So he's doing this to show us that the mind is the Spirit. That's why he's quoting the Isaiah passage. The mind of Jesus Christ refers to the Spirit of the Lord. In verse 12 of Isaiah 40, the prophet points out the total inability of man to measure or understand the physical universe that man is in. And who gave God all the wisdom to do all these things, that gives man the wisdom to understand these things? It's the mind of God. What is the mind of God? The Holy Spirit. Now, as to why Paul quotes from Isaiah 40 is very simple. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul has made it clear man is totally incapable of understanding the depths of the mysteries of God. Man is totally incapable of understanding the depths of the mysteries of God. But there is one who possesses the mind of Christ. That is the Spirit of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. And with you having the Holy Spirit in you, then you possess that mind of Christ in you. So 1 Corinthians 2:16, who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? Paul refers here to the natural man referred to in verse 14. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. It's all about the Holy Spirit, the whole context. This whole context is about the Holy Spirit. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. This refers to natural man, or even the believer out of the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit. The old man or the natural man. This is continually, that our flesh nature is continually being corrupt. In verse 16, Paul points out that the believer empowered by the Holy Spirit is different. That believer has the mind of Christ. That is the Holy Spirit. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? This refers to the natural man, the believer in the flesh. His mind is simply incapable of understanding God. This is the natural man who cannot pray in his name of Jesus Christ. The natural man cannot do that, and we can't do it in the flesh either. He simply cannot understand the mind of Christ. But we, believers in the church age, the new spiritual creature, as opposed to the natural man, have the mind of Christ. That is, we have God, the Holy Spirit, in us. So, not having the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, not being empowered by the Holy Spirit, you cannot know the thinking of the mind of Jesus Christ. But when you have the Holy Spirit, we can know the mind of Christ, understand the desires of Christ, and even have the love of Christ. And therefore pray in His name. Okay, any questions? Okay, we'll begin here next Wednesday night. What is this? Sharon's brother, and his name is Steve. And just he needs our prayers. What's his status? Tonight? Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Edna's going to the hospital today? Okay, she is going to have knee surgery. So we need to be in prayer for Edna. We need to be in prayer for Sharon's brother, Steve, who was taken to the hospital tonight. We don't know anything much. Okay. All right, so we will be in prayer for Steve and be in prayer for Edna. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the God that you are. That you have given to us, finite man, number as the sand on the seashore. Weak as we are, you've given us to us that exalted position and ability to come to you in prayer. Our simplest needs, the hurting of our souls, are in prayer for others, that they may know Christ. It is amazing, Heavenly Father, how little we tap into the great power source of prayer. I pray your Spirit will take the things that we're studying here on Wednesday night and incite us all to be more fervent in our prayer. Praying more often. Praying in His name, according to His love, in His desire. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.